Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you see how the gospel of Jesus Christ intersects with our daily lives and compels us toward gratitude and generosity.
Hey, welcome to Abound in Hope again, our weekly podcast through Imprint Church. And I'm Tom Regan.
And I'm Darren Larson. And we're grateful that you joined us for this time. You know, last week we talked about anxiety and just spent some time kind of processing that together. And one of the things that's funny about this podcast format we're doing is we're not preparing a lot for it. I mean, we prepare a little bit, but a lot of the things we're talking about is somewhat extemporaneous. Mm-hmm. And so it's so funny. I got done with the podcast last week in all ironies, was totally anxious about everything we said. I was like, oh my gosh, this isn't any good. I texted Rex and Tom and I was like, man, I'm not sure we did a good job with the anxiety podcast. And if you can catch the irony of that is I was totally anxious about our anxiety podcast, you know?
So yeah, there's some irony there.
There is irony.
But we were like, yep, just roll it. It's good.
We're going to make it happen. So yeah. if you haven't listened to that, would you go back and listen to that first?
That's part one. This is part two.
Yeah. So today we're in part two of anxiety. And we felt there was more to say than one episode would even allow, even though we went overtime last week compared to kind of what we wanted to do. Right. We're kind of thinking like a 15-minute podcast here.
Right. And so I think part of the reason for wanting to extend this out a little bit more was just to talk about how dealing with anxiety isn't just a matter of applying certain techniques. Mm-hmm. Although I think there are some helpful, practical things that we can do. We even mentioned some of those last week, like you can exercise, getting enough sleep helps, not consuming too much caffeine or social media. And I didn't want anyone to think that we're just trying to slap a Band-Aid on there, because I think the issue of anxiety is much deeper than what the secular age is doing, which is applying certain techniques. So, for example, mm-hmm. in secular society, the solution for anger, it's not really getting at the root of anger. Mm-hmm. You hear a lot about anger management. Mm-hmm. Now, I think it's wise to control your anger. You should manage your anger. And if that helps you to yell in a pillow or something like that, great. Or do kickboxing or something, that's helpful. But Jesus is much more concerned for who we are in our character, in our hearts, mm-hmm. who we are as people. So Jesus is not satisfied with us just controlling our anger. Mm-hmm. He wants us to become people who aren't angry people. Mm-hmm. He wants us to be people who are in their character, in their personhood, kind and patient. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. as it relates to anxiety, we don't just want to say, let's apply certain coping techniques. We want to be a people that aren't anxious people, people who are full of faith and who are trusting and who know what to do when we inevitably face anxiety. So that's the thing, is we don't want to, it's not a simplistic approach. We're not experts, and we're not saying that there's any really easy solution to this thing. So we want to take a holistic approach. That is the idea that anxiety has more to do with walking with God in relationship with Him than sort of managing techniques.
Yes.
Moment by moment.
So yeah, we took a kind of a hard right turn in our podcast like last week, where we said, what are some practical things we can do to deal with anxiety? And that's where we listed off some of those things that we I'd looked up through a Christian counselor that I knew about on their website. But I thought maybe instead of just thinking of those things, as Tom just mentioned, we can say, where should we pick up this conversation before those practical things that we've thought through? Even though they're helpful and those are good things to do at times, where do we want to pick up the conversation on anxiety today?
Right. Yeah, I think last week, I think we touched a little bit on prayer. And obviously, prayer is essential. I mean, I want to just recap. 1 Peter 5:7 says that we should cast all our anxieties on God because He cares for us. And so I think that in itself is an encouragement to pray, to talk to God about what's worrying us. Mm-hmm. Or as I like to say, turn your worries into prayers rather than hanging on to what it is that concerns you and that worries you, is turn that into a prayer and bring it to God. Psalm 55:22 is similar. It says, cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. Psalm 62:8 says, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. So that's prayer. Pour out your heart before Him. So obviously, we are encouraged and exhorted to pray and to bring all of our concerns, all of our anxieties to the Lord.
And if the Psalms are the prayer book of the early church and the church at large, then we can learn a lot about how to bring our anxiousness, our fears, our all of those things to the Lord in prayer through the Psalms. And so that's a good thing, but what would you say, I guess the question I would continue to ask is, what would you say for those who have actually read the Psalms and prayed the prayers, but they still deal at some level with some heart level of anxiety and they can't seem to shake it? What do you do in that situation?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think that we can even tend toward treating prayer mechanically or mechanistically, where you just put in your prayer and you expect God to answer it. Like I've had people say to me, well, the prayer doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's happening there is that you're treating, and I have this tendency too, to treat prayer as sort of like a band-aid. Like as long as I tell my concern to God, then automatically he's going to zap me mm-hmm. and he's going to give me peace. And that's what right. I want, but rarely right. has, I can think of a couple of occasions in my life when I've actually right. prayed for peace and like that peace that surpasses understanding like mm-hmm. hits me, but mm-hmm. that's not normal. I don't think that's how it works. So I think we yeah. have to, it might sound unchristian, we have to do something more mm-hmm. than just pray when we're thinking about anxiety. I think we have to spend time mm-hmm. thinking about who God is. We need to mm-hmm. think about the God who we're praying to.
Mm-hmm. Go back for 1 second, because I think even just mentioning one of the things we did say last week that I'd reemphasize in that is many of the times we're praying for deliverance mm. and God actually wants to see something of his character through the process,
yes. right?
Right. Yep. And so the prayer becomes part of the process, I
right.
think,
yeah.
in this, is that we are spending time with the Lord, casting our cares upon mm-hmm. him because he cares about us. And that's not necessarily right. leading always to the solution or yep. the end
right.
goal,
right.
but there's a process from that prayer to the time when something may or may not be resolved. Because you even mentioned last week that sometimes our anxieties come true. Sometimes the worst mm-hmm. news actually
right.
happens,
yeah.
you know?
Right. Yeah.
And so that's the thing. Did God deliver us or not? See, the thing is God wants to speak to us and teach us
right.
and train us in that time from the prayer going out to whatever resolution it may be.
Right.
So I think we would agree
that, let's say, courage is a virtue. Like we mm-hmm. we want to be a courageous people. But here's the hard thing and the terrible thing about I'd say terrible because it feels terrible, mm-hmm. the Christian life, is that if God wants to create courageous character in mm-hmm. us, how else can he do it except by bringing
right.
us through things that are fear-inducing and
yep.
fearful and hard,
yep.
right?
Yep.
He doesn't just, or like patience, when people say like, dear Lord, give me patience, not opportunities for patience, but the actual thing, patience. Well, here's
totally.
The reality. You can't be given just patience without being brought through situations that are going to test your patience. So
yeah.
same with if God's primary aim for us is to be a people who trust him,
mm-hmm.
there's no way to become a trusting kind of person unless you're facing situations that are going to challenge that
yep.
and are
yep.
going to make it hard for you to trust. So I think we have to think, rather than just, I'm going to pray and God's going to answer and deliver me, is I need to get to know the God
mm-hmm.
to whom I'm praying. I need to know things about mm-hmm. him. And so what I would suggest
mm-hmm.
is that to deal with our anxiety through biblical meditation and remembrance. I add biblical before meditation because I don't mean mm-hmm. the Eastern meditation. I mean mm-hmm. meditating on God's word,
mm-hmm.
who he reveals himself to be, and remembrance. And we can talk about maybe a couple of those things.
Yeah, I think the techniques to overcoming anxiety can be somewhat helpful that we talked about earlier, and they can be things that kind of calm you a little mm-hmm. bit, but unless you're going to base everything in the scriptures or in
right.
the character of God
right.
or anything like that, those things are going to fall flat. It's like you said
right.
at the very beginning of this, the world gives us all kinds
right.
of tools to use to get past these things, but ultimately the Lord wants to shape us in
right.
a different way, and
right.
he's chosen to shape us through the word of God
right.
and his character revealed
right.
in the word of God. So how do we allow
right.
that to be the thing that permeates our minds? What do,
right.
what do we do? How do we make that happen?
Right. I would say in some way we have to acknowledge we are applying a practical thing to do. This wouldn't mm-hmm. be helpful if we weren't saying, here's something you can do. But as we have this conversation,
true.
We need to acknowledge we're not just trying to apply a coping technique, that
mm-hmm.
what we're talking about in meditating on God's character,
mm-hmm.
who he is revealed in his word, there is something that the Lord is seeking to do in our hearts where he's actually shaping who
mm-hmm.
we become, that we're walking with him.
Mm-hmm.
We're fixing our minds on him and coming to know him personally in relationship with him. So I think about where you set your mind. So anxiety usually
mm-hmm.
creeps up in us and builds up when our minds are fixed on some situation that we can't control or afraid we're not going to be able to control,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be potentially damaging to us in some way. And so I think of Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock, or New Living Translation, to those whose thoughts are fixed on you. So really, I think anxiety is a battle that's waged in your mind. It's a struggle of the mind. So if we want to experience God's peace, then we have to set our minds on who God is and what he's like. And what is he like? Isaiah 26 says he's like an everlasting rock,
yeah,
which
yeah.
means he's the source of unshakable stability.
So good.
So where do we put yeah. our minds?
Yeah, it's funny. I was reminded of this last week after we got done. I read a book years ago by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the preacher, the famous preacher. And he is a guy that I was introduced to years ago in seminary, and read this book years ago, but didn't really think much of it then. But I was reminded that he talks about in this the idea of fear of the future. And so one of the things I would think, I think you just mentioned this idea of we get so captivated or encapsulated mm-hmm. by what might happen right. or the things in the future.
Worst case scenarios.
Worst case scenarios. And instead you're saying like, get our minds stuck in what's actually real and who the character of God is and who he really is. Mm-hmm. And that's a really practical thing to do. Martin Lloyd-Jones does something really good because he kind of asks the question, well, then is it even right to care about the future? Is it even right to think forward at all? Should I just kind of say like, if Jesus says things like, don't worry about what you're going to wear.
Right.
Don't worry about what you're going to eat. You know, your heavenly father feeds the birds, all this kind of stuff. Am I even supposed to think about the future? Mm-hmm. And he posits this idea that he says it's very wrong, or it's very right to think about the future. He says this in Spiritual Depression, by the way. It's very right to think about the future. It's very wrong to be controlled by the future. Mm-hmm. The difficulty with people who are prey to fears is that they are actually controlled by the future and they're dominated by thoughts of that. And they're wringing their hands, doing nothing and depressed about that. In fact, they're completely governed and mastered by the fear of the unknown. And that is always wrong. And then he goes on to talk about instead the idea in 2 Timothy 1, that famous passage where the Lord, you know, Paul says to Timothy, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Right. And so to go back to that idea of you just said, and he breaks down in this chapter called Fear of the Future on how the Lord has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind instead of being captivated. It's that idea that the Lord did not give you that, that fearful spirit. He's given you other gifts and it's all based in his character and who he really is. And so that's to keep that at the forefront of our mind when we're going through things that are indeed fearful or and we're even thinking about the future.
Right, and that's going back to the idea that I'm trying to really understand and embrace something and take into what I actually believe about God, that he's in control of the future, that my life is held in his hands. And so in a period of deep anxiety for me, I remember Psalm 16 just being like a balm to my soul. Because David has this very strong sense of God's care for him, that his life is held in the Lord's hands. And he says in Psalm 16:8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. So I've set the Lord always before me. So again, it's your mind. I'm putting the Lord and who he is in front of my mind. And that's what I think about. Now, obviously, if you go about your day and you're at work or you're with kids or whatever you're doing, it's not like you're always going to be explicitly thinking about the Lord, but in your times of quiet, where does your mind go back to? So if you're if you have some free time or you're driving in the car, does your mind immediately go to that situation that you can't control and begins to produce anxiety in you? Or is the default setting of your mind going back to who the Lord is? And I think in some sense, we're trying to reset, you know, like the factory reset on your phone, like you can default setting. Well, our default setting probably is to be in control of our own lives and worry about our future. How can we work with the Lord and by his spirit and his word to reset our minds so that in those quiet times, my mind defaults to who God is?
How often do we play out scenarios in our mind instead of meditating upon the character of God? You know, like how often do I do this? I think of if this person says this, I'm going to say this. And then I start to break down all these different ifs and scenarios in my mind, if then scenarios in my mind. And instead of us doing that in terms of even just if it's just with a person, a conversation you're going to have, or if you're thinking about the future, what if we would spend that time instead of working through scenarios in our mind and how we might respond to those scenarios that might happen? What if we spend those times considering who God is and what he said about us? What if we dwell upon those things and that becomes the, in some ways, cure to the anxiety that we are feeling? Not necessarily the long-term cure, but at least a very practical way to battle it, in a sense.
Keeping him on the forefront of your mind. And I'm not the greatest at biblical memorization. I have a lot of passages sort of in my mind and what they mean.
I think you're better than I am.
But if you have a couple of anchor verses for you that when you begin to think about, you know, something concerning to you, you begin to feel the anxiety, your heartbeat goes up, is train your mind, train yourself in a sense to go back to those anchoring things. And maybe it's, you know, those who keep their mind stayed on him, he holds in perfect peace because he's an everlasting rock. And maybe that's what your mind goes to. And you just sort of build up this arsenal of God's promises and revelations of who he is and to help you. And for me, I think one of the key things, and this is not a hard phrase to remember, is Emmanuel, God with us.
Yeah, I was just about to ask that. You know, I think being in this series in John that we're going through, the reminder that the Lord has made his dwelling among us, and he's mm-hmm. with us. And then even this week, I'm getting ready to preach on mm-hmm. on John and the coming of the Spirit and the sending of the Spirit mm-hmm. in John 14. Right. And I'm really excited about that. And it's this idea of comfort and peace that the Lord brings.
I don't know if it's there, no, because maybe that's in 16. He will, it's at one point, whether it's John 14 or 16, it might be 16, where he says, and he will be with you and in you.
Yes, yeah, totally.
So the promise of Jesus.
I actually think it's in both passages, to be honest with you.
The promise of Jesus is that he will be with us. And that's a promise that comes through the gospel. As we talk about, how does the gospel intersect with daily life and anxiety? Well, here's how it intersects, is that God himself, in the person of his Son, through his Spirit, dwells in believers, and his promise is to forever be with us. Yeah. And that's kind of the culmination, as you see at the end of Matthew's gospel, and I am with you always to the end of the age. So his disciples are commissioned to go out and take the gospel to the nations. He's already promised them a number of times that they're going to be persecuted, that they're going to be hated by everyone on account of Jesus, that they're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. How are you going to send us out into the world, Jesus? You're leaving. Well, I'm going to be with you. How? Through his Spirit. And if you go back through the narrative portions of the Bible, you see this consistent repetition of God addressing people's fears by telling them, by assuring them that he's going to be with them. He doesn't say, again, that I'm going to be with, he doesn't say, you're not going to be exposed to any danger. He just says, I'm going to be with you. So Moses is, is afraid of going to Pharaoh. God says, I will be with you. To Joshua, who's about to lead the Israelites into the promised land, do not fear, the Lord is with you.
And he says, just as I was with Moses. So Joshua has this living example of someone he watched, you know, who was focused on God's character and presence with him all the time, which is great.
Judges chapter 6, Gideon is freaked out of his mind that God is going to call him to lead the Israelites to go against the Midianites. And who am I? I'm the small clan. I'm nobody, he says. And God says, I will be with you. Jeremiah is a young man. He gets called to prophesy. He's afraid to bring the message, and he does get persecuted. He has a horrible ministry. He's not in the sense of people's response to him, but he was
not
faithful.
Super successful.
No, nobody wants to, nobody puts those quotes on posters. Those are not motivational posters for Christians. He says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. So this constant refrain of don't be afraid, don't be worried, because I'm with you. And so I think if I'm anxious, there's something in me deep inside that's not really trusting the promise that God is with me. Because I think it depends on my strength and my wisdom to fix whatever problem is coming.
You know, it seems like a resounding gong, if you will, in this conversation we've had over this last couple of weeks has been this sense of like the deliverance is the thing that we want so badly. We want to be delivered from fear. We want to be delivered from anxiety. We want to not have that in our lives. But we gave the idea last week that that's part of living in a broken world is that we're going to deal with anxiety. And we see the characters in Scripture who deal with that as well. So I guess the question becomes rather, Lord, what do you want to teach me when I'm facing anxiety? What is the most important thing you want me to know about this time, and how can I grow in this? And so I guess that's the question. What do you think the Lord wants to teach us all when we live in anxiety that we're going
to
face?
Yeah, I think he wants us to learn to trust him. He wants us to learn to trust him because we, as you said, we want to be delivered from, and I think more often than not, we are delivered through.
Yeah, good. Things. That's very tweetable.
Yeah.
Someone tweet that right now.
We're delivered through things. Kind of like if you go to Psalm 23, again, there's this promise. David says, he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Again, we can ask the question, well, why is the sheep in the valley of the shadow of death?
Totally.
Because the shepherd is leading that sheep through the valley of the shadow of death. Because just before he says that in the psalm, I can't remember which verse it is, he says, you lead me on paths of righteousness for your namesake. So clearly the shepherd is leading the sheep. Next verse, where's the sheep? Valley of the shadow of death. Why? Apparently that's where the shepherd is taking
leading
the
him.
Sheep, leading him through that. So it's not an exemption from the valley of the shadow of death. It's a promise to take that sheep through the valley of the shadow of death. And as I, you know, went through my whole brain cancer ordeal several years ago, I thought, here I am, you know, here I am. And I wish I wasn't down here, but I know that I clung to the promise that the Lord was leading me as a good shepherd.
It's amazing how in times of fear and anxiety and in times of unknown, it seems to me that the Lord uses those times to help us recognize and realize where our true hope is found, you know? And I think that's, for you, I watched you, I walked with you through that time, and I had my own fear and anxiety during that time, you know, losing a very close friend, what are the unknowns of our church? We just hired you to come and plant a church. What's the Lord going to do? And I felt like during that time, the Lord used that so much to teach us about his character and his love and his care for us. And we would have never experienced that had we not walked through that valley. valley of the shadow of death, right. You know? And so I wonder if the Lord sometimes uses those moments where the floor is just completely pulled out from us. And I mean, I imagine there's people listening to us today who deal with anxiety fairly regularly. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, can I say to you, that maybe the Lord is caring for you in a way that you've never thought mm-hmm. of before right. by taking yeah. the floor out from underneath you.
Right.
That's hard to say. And I don't yeah. say that lightly.
No, totally.
You know,
but the Lord exposes what we actually trust in by mm-hmm. when he takes certain things away. Like yep. even in this coronavirus time, we've trusted yeah. in certain yep. things. We've trusted in our jobs. We've trusted in our health. Things get taken away. Mm-hmm. And then what you find out what you're really leaning on. And mm-hmm. the Lord shows himself faithful. Like, I want you to lean on me.
Totally. Yep.
And so I think that part of this idea of like, what does the Lord want to teach us? Well, he wants us to depend on him day to day, but I think a remembrance is a part of it. So if we talk about meditation, think about who the Lord mm-hmm. is, remembrance can help us grow in relationship with God by recalling what he has done for us, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. by recalling what he's done for us. And so for me, I have a note in my phone that I have synced on my iOS devices that's called God Stories. And my wife, Lindsay, and I will sometimes read these stories or tell the stories to our children because we want them to know mm-hmm. that this God of the Bible who has met Moses, who's met Joshua, who's met mm-hmm. Gideon, is the same God who meets with us today, is yep. the same God who speaks his word over us and is alive and active in our life today. And so just that, you know, one of the stories that I have in my note is, and you remember this, Darren, mm-hmm. I was going through 6 weeks of brain radiation treatment, and it's pretty expensive. So I had 6 weeks of that, and I got a letter from our medical insurance company that said, we are not going to cover this mm-hmm. because we wouldn't recommend this type of radiation. And the Seattle Cancer Care Alliance wanted to do this particular kind as they're trying to demonstrate its efficacy. But the insurance company was like, no, we're not going to cover this. And I'm freaking out. Like, what am I going to do? Mm. I don't have the money to pay for this. And then a few days go by, and then I get a letter from the Seattle Cancer Care Alliance and the Proton Therapy Radiation Treatment Center, and they said, we are going to cover the cost of this. Mm. And that was like, okay, that's a God moment for me. That's a God story for me. And I want to write that down, and I want to remember. And the reason that's helpful to write it down and to remember it is so the next time you're facing some concern, mm-hmm. you can go, God did this in my life.
Totally.
Because sometimes you need a little bit of help connecting the fact that this Bible here and this God here is the same God that acts. And so when you remember your stories and you tell yeah. those stories to each other, you have tangible
totally
evidence of his faithfulness.
Yeah, speaking of Joshua, I mean, right when they passed over into the promised land, you know, he had them go back and pick up a bunch of stones of remembrance right. to put down, right? To so that kids, when they're what right. the Bible says, when kids are walking mm-hmm. past, they're going to say, what are those stones yeah. for? I just spoke about this mm-hmm. in a devotion a few weeks ago, you know, and they're to say, remember that God delivered mm-hmm. us, you know, right. and so there's these ways that we can set up stones of remembrance mm-hmm. in our lives. Yeah, you know, whether it's a journal, I'm, right. I'm with you. Yeah. I actually journal a good portion of the mornings of the week just to remind myself mm-hmm. of God's faithfulness. And that has actually helped me overcome anxiety in my life. Right. I know we've jokingly said I'm immune to anxiety, which is totally not true. I admit right. at the very beginning yeah. of this podcast right. that I had anxiety from the things I said the week prior. But to go back and to see the Lord's faithfulness, to remember that, to meditate on that has been one of the key ways that I can battle anxiety right. in my life.
Yeah. So my encouragement would be for people who are listening to write those stories
down,
to tell those, if you have children, tell those to your kids, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. revisit them with your spouse, revisit them with the people in your life, and talk about how God has been faithful to you. And I'm telling you, like, there's something that the Spirit of God does as you are remembering who he is and what he's done for you. There is a stabilizing force
yep.
for your soul to remember that God is faithful.
Tell other people when you've experienced anxiety in the past and how the Lord has seen mm-hmm. you through that anxiety. Not necessarily even in the victory story, like I was so fearful and the Lord did this mm-hmm. and delivered me, but rather say, I was fearful and anxious and this is what the Lord mm-hmm. taught me through that process.
Right.
That may give you the ability to abound in right. hope in right. the midst of anxiety.
Yeah, and so I think in all of this, our hope is that this is helpful for what it means to walk with God mm-hmm. in relationship to him, and we're not just trying to apply some, you know, slap some band-aids on and apply some coping techniques for anxiety. Yeah, like I said last week, if I drink too much coffee, then I feel anxious, so mm-hmm. I try to limit myself. But that on its own is not going to tackle the things that I'm going to face in life. And so I need to know who God is. I need to walk with him and meditate on who he is and try to ask the Lord, sink this into my heart, like that I would really believe, that I would really believe, and help me and receive encouragement from the Lord not to be anxious. Again, not a rebuke, but yep. an invitation. There's an invitation for you to cast your anxieties on him.
All right. So if you have thoughts about anxiety that you want to share with us, please, by all means, email us. Yeah. We'd love to hear those. If you have things that you want to ask about on this topic, you can email us at podcast@imprintchurch.org.
Or how we can be praying for you.
Or how we can be praying for you. We'd be happy to. We recognize that two podcasts are not going to solve the human issue of anxiety. But may these things serve you in a way to help you focus on the goodness of God in our lives.
See you next week.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.